In your Bible, to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, for a moment. And as we've been just taking a little place in these days to exercise our understanding in exercising prayer. And prayer is the practice of the presence of God. It has to do with relating to God, as we've been sharing. And it needs to be understood, because all the truth and all the things that we could learn and study and recipes, like in Sunday school and that, they're no good if you can't relate to God. Just a bunch of information that may or may not be relevant to you. So now, in the light of that, when you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, when you receive Him, He is the Son of God. He is God in the flesh, and God in Christ enters your heart. When that happens, you, a whole lot of good things happen, one of which is you become a child of God a son of God. And that relationship now ties in, why? To the Father. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, in His wonderful person, made God, the invisible, infinite God, visible. So you could understand God from a personal standpoint, looking at the person of God. You're a person, He's a person. And you could relate to God in a very personal way and have an understanding of the infinite, invisible God. And having that understanding, when we receive Him as our Savior, the Lord's ministry, public ministry, as we're sharing in the Gospel of John, this public ministry is to show the Father. His ministry in His perfect humanity is to show the perfect deity of God, in particular, God the Father. So when you see Him, His words, His works, His witness, He's showing the Father. That's what He's doing. He's doing, like we said in John 4 and 34 in that, I've come to answering His disciples about eating. My food, my meat is to do the will of God and to finish His work. That's my assignment. Now, so when you receive Him as your Savior, then His ministry continues. And your ministry as a person doing as you wish, when you wish, now becomes different because your whole life now is involved in His life. And you want to exercise your relationship to the wonderful person of God in a very personal way, so that you, words, thought, deed, work, home, school, everything you do, is going to bring God into the kitchen, bring God into the grocery store. You're going to bring God wherever you go, because you carry God wherever you go. And you bring God as a witness. Now, having said that much, now we're ready, just that reminder. Luke chapter 2 again, verse 49. Remember now the Lord Jesus, 12 years old, begins his ministry, as it says, the first one that is revealed at age 12. And he says, in the light of his stepmother and brethren, them, looking for him. Then he is going to answer the question. And he said unto them, verse 49, how is it that you sought me, wist or know not? Know ye not that I must, it is absolute necessity, that I be about in the business of my Father? So that, here they are, his family. And they knew that he was not like them in a very good way. And therefore, they know he must be about the business of my Father. Now, and that's what he did his whole earthly life until his resurrection. And then he came into your life, if you're saved, and you're going to carry out that same ministry. It doesn't change. Christ, his assignment is to reveal the Father so that people might know him and honor him. And so in the light of that, we share together that you need to go, as we, in our prayer, we ask, if you ask anything in my name, the Father will be glorified in my name. So, limited, guided, we're guided in what we're doing. So we are intelligent about what we're doing. And we aren't shooting for pie in the sky, or we aren't hitting no target. We want to be very good shooters, and we hit the target. You want to be able to hit the bullseye every time. And there's no reason you can't. There's no reason you can't. Let me try to mumble through it. Now, so in the light of that, the Father's business we shared together involved his blessing, his burdens, his battles, and we looked at that a little bit to understand we're involved. Everything of the God the Father that he's up to on planet Earth, we're involved in as a believer representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And as sons, we are to see the outworking of God's will. That's our assignment. Our assignment, well, the reason we breathe, the reason we go to bed, get out of bed, do whatever we do, is to represent the Father. That's what our job is. In the Father's will at school, Father's will at work, the Father's will wherever you go. In the kitchen, the Father's will. You're bringing God to all of those places, wherever you go. So now, having said that, the outworking of God's will, his thoughts, his words, his ways, his works, all of it in his name. His name means his nature, his essence, his character, his being, all that he is and who he is. You're going to do that in all of, in the light of who he is. So hang on to that. And, as you know, and so therefore, God the Son represents the Father, as we shared, and you and the Spirit of God's ministry did that in the Lord Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God led him into the wilderness and 40 days and nights tempted of the devil. The Spirit of God did all of that. The Lord in his perfect humanity trusted God. God provided himself and protected and did what he did in a most wonderful way. So now, having said that little bit, here's God the Son. And God the Son, as you get saved and come to know the Lord as your Savior, and we enter into a very special relationship to God. Now, how much of God? How much of God? Here's God. We're in his presence. And we don't have to move. God, here you are. And if we go outside of a billion galaxies, which we aren't outside yet, but if we go that far, we're still, God, you're there. So now, God, I'm looking, and I want to know how much, when I receive you as my Savior, how much? Over in, you know all this, Ephesians, what you're doing is eventually letting the truth sink into your head and into your heart, and pretty soon God starts doing wonderful things because you're exercising truth. You aren't just memorizing it, you aren't writing it in your book. It's part of your life. You're changed wonderfully. Now, so here in Ephesians, God, how much of God do I have? Well, how much do you have? Does any believer have? Verse 22, as you know, God hath put all things, God the Father hath put all things under his feet, Christ, and gave him, Christ, to be the head over all things to the church. And the church, verse 21, you don't have to guess, which is his body. That's the believers placed in the body of Christ by the Spirit of God. And those believers placed in the body of Christ by the Spirit of God are to exercise all the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So God, here is our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the head. And he brings to us all of God. How much is, when I receive Christ as my Savior, how much of God did I get? I get all of God. And in the process, I get all of God. And God got all of me because he placed me in his Son. Just little old me and little old you, right smack in the middle of God. How can that be? Because of Jesus Christ made it possible. He is the Son. And as sons, that's why we're sons, because he's the Son. And as sons, here we are smack dab in the middle of him. And he is smack dab in the middle of us. How much? Can't have any more of God. You can't have any more of God. No matter how you cut the cookie, you can't have more. Hang on. As you know, in Ephesians chapter 5, and looking and keeping in mind, and going, if I can, to verse 18. You're going to have the same word, fill, to be filled up. Ephesians 5:18, what are you going to say? Well, I'll read it a little bit ahead of it. Verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, ought to be understanding, but understanding what is, what the will of the Lord is. Because that's not what your will is, not what the world's will is, not what the government's will is. What is God's will? What is God's will? And to understand that. So we understand. That's what we're shooting for. God, we represent your will. We represent the Father. And in verse 18, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled, be full. Command to be filled with the Spirit of God, yielding to God, looking to God, letting God take over in our little lives in a most wonderful way. And that's why we yield without turning there, Romans 6 and 13. We yield ourselves, we present ourselves to God, we reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin. And we do that, We present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. And we do that. Why? Because we're God, it's yours. You bought it with a price, and I'm able to enjoy my life in your life in an awesome way once I get a hold of it. So in the process of that, and keeping that in mind, over if you would, we'll do that in a bit. Over to John chapter 14. John, the Gospel of John, chapter 14. God, we're going to yield to you, and you're going to do a wonderful thing in our life and with our life. So here in the Gospel of John, and in chapter 14, may I go directly to verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, said the Lord, and will manifest myself to him. I will love him and manifest myself. And the word manifest has to do with in, the word in, and to show, to make show, to show something very plainly, very clearly, very publicly, very plain. You can't to manifest it, turn on all the lights so you can see good. Or if you would like in an operating table, the lights come on, see. I want you to see, manifest, clear. Okay, now, hang on. I will, the end of verse 21, I will manifest myself. I will make myself plain, clear, public, very open for appearance. Now, and in verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we, my Father and I, will come unto him and make our abode, our abiding place. We will come, we're going to come and make our abiding place, mansions, many house of many mansions. We're going to come and make our abiding place with him in near association. You're going to be very near. My Father and I are going to come into that person. We're going to come. So, God, you said it. That's right. You open the door, Revelation 3:20, and I will what? I'll come in. You don't do anything. All you did is do your part. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and God in His wonderful power, authority, will give make you a child of God. What did you do to become a child of God? Nothing. What did you do to become a child of your parents? Zero. You didn't do anything. All you did is cooperate and be born physically. And you became a child of your parents. When you're born from heaven above, you become a child of God. That's what it is. So now you've got to practice the truth and exercise it. And God, what are we saying? Well, we're trying to remind ourselves, God, that you will make your abode. So God, you tell me that you are going to go and personally indwell the heart and mind, the person, the believing heart. You're going to indwell that person. Now you said that very clearly, and therefore God, we're looking to you to take care of that. So in John chapter 14, going to verse 17 for the moment, we did the Father and the Son. Chapter 14, verse 17. And you'll know, please, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth in with you, in the same word, we will manifest ourselves with you, very close, near association, etc., nearness. And the Spirit of God, verse 17, the end of the verse, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So the Spirit of God is right there until when the day of Pentecost came, he was in them permanently. Up till then, he was with them, right with them all the way. And you can see the word so you can see it while you're looking at the same word dwell. Verse 10. 14:10, believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself. But the Father that, what's the word? Dwelleth. That's the same word. What do you mean? The Father dwelleth in me. So I'm going to go back to verse 17. He dwelleth with you. Spirit of God, making it so you don't have to guess. It was a very personal relationship. The Father's in me and I'm in the Father. Over, if you would, again in verse 16. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide, there's the word abide, to dwell with you forever. So with you forever. So it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that God, you'd do, that you're going to go in all of your fullness. No stinginess, nothing less than you, your person, your whole wonderful person is going to be involved in the believing heart's life. That's correct. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. All of my wonderful person is going to be in your little heart. Why? It's just the way it is. For what reason? That we might be about our Father's business. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and so we remember now, we said the Spirit of God, just to remind ourselves, God, the Spirit of God said in Galatians 4:6, and that, the Spirit of God comes crying into the heart of sons of God, and he is presently crying out, present tense, continuous, he's crying out, Abba, Father. Romans 8:50. The Spirit of God is going to go and help us. He says, Abba, Father, and we say it back. Romans 8. We say, Abba, Father. He says it. I say it. Say it. I said, why am I going to say it? Because he said it. What's your authority? He is. He's the authority. And I'm going to respond to the authority. I am. And so, and believing what does that? So we're looking to God, and in that wonderful, wonderful relationship that we're having, going to have if we understand it. God, what are you after now? Over, if you would please, in your Bible, to 1 John chapter 1, first epistle of John chapter 1, and picking up in verse 3. I'm going directly there. And remember now, you want to remember now, the Apostle John's last living apostle, he is going to speak on behalf of all Peter, James, and John that are all gone. They all died. He's speaking about them. So now, John, I'm listening. That which was from verse 1, from the beginning, which we have heard, and which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. So that's us, guys. We were there. We know him. I'm the last one living that did that. And I want you to know, though, about me. About me. What about you? For the life was manifested as we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen. The life was in the Lord Jesus Christ. We understood the Father by way of the Lord Jesus Christ. We understood God in Christ. We did. And we all understood that. And it was, we had a wonderful relationship. What kind of a relationship? Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard, we declare, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, all of them. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. Reason, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. So, John, you are in fellowship with God by way of Christ. That's right. The word fellowship has to do with having in common, sharing, participating, joint sharers. And we have that wonderful, wonderful privilege. And so what are you after? Well, I want you to know, and this is very rarely understood, unfortunately. It should be more understood. I'll say it that way. Do you know why God saved you? I don't know what you'd write down. God wants, he didn't make you like a rabbit or a dog. He made you a person. Why did he make you a person? He wants person to person. He wants personal fellowship. He wants his creation to be able to personally share his wonderful being as God. Do you understand that? That's what he wants. So work, homeschool, what are we doing? We're looking to God, learning it, understanding it a little better, a little more. We're looking to God for what? We're going to look to God and understand God happens to want to enjoy your personal being as you enjoy his. You take your life, and he wants to be part of your life. And he wants you to participate in his life. And you become a unique oneness. Do you understand that? God just wants to enjoy you, and for you to enjoy him. That is the bottom line now and forever. How many people do that say they're Christians? Now, going to do it again. You need not, I'm trying to drive the nail, like hitting a big nail. I'm trying to keep hitting the nail so that somewhere it'll stick. You know, if you put a big nail in, if you put a nail just in the surface, you can wiggle it out. But if I put a spike 3 feet in the ground, three feet in cement, fixed, cured cement. Let's say you pull that out. Okay, now, over if you would to 1 Corinthians. And all the baloney that gets out there, you know, well, God, who knows, and who knows what he said, and what he means, and all, who knows it for sure anyway. that all disappears. It's simply because we didn't let God be God. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, picking up, as you know, to the Corinthians, going directly in the light of verse 9. 1 Corinthians 1:9 in the light of 1 Corinthians. God is faithful. I'll read verse 8 for a little bit. Who shall also confirm you to the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, verse 9, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You were called. What did you call me to when I got saved? To know him. He called you to know him, to understand him, understand the will of God, to be able to enjoy the Father, to be in the Father's business, the blessings, the battles, and the benefits, and the burdens. Now, and thus, faith to whom you were called into fellowship. The fellowship, the word fellowship, participation. Back over to 1 John 1:3, you don't have to turn there, but it's the same word. Fellowship, fellowship. We have the communion, we have communion service. Fellowship, fellowship. Reminding yourself of who he is. Don't forget him. Do this in what? In remembrance of me. Don't forget me. Now, 1 Corinthians, verse 9, the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. The Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to have a fellowship that belongs to the God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. God brings you in Christ into his fellowship. The fellowship that he has with the Father, you have. He gives you the same fellowship with the Father. And in which he participates, he personally participates, God the Son and God the Father. And he participates in it, and you participate in it. And he makes it all wonderfully, wonderfully possible, and provides all of the benefits. And what did you do to get a drop of it? Nothing. All you did was honor God and look to God and trust God and believe God. And you were going to enjoy God and learn to trust in God in the most wonderful way. So now, God, here you are going, and you're going to go and make for a joint, to be joint participants. And we have joint, wonderful participation. We are participants, and we participate practically. So we trust God, talk to God, look to God in a most awesome and wonderful way if we would take it. And we're going to do so in my name, praying in Jesus' name, the nature, the essence, the being that belongs to God. So now, in the light of that, over, if you would, to Exodus. Exodus chapter 3. In Exodus chapter 3. And picking up, if I can, Exodus chapter 3, may I go to verse 13. And Moses said unto God, Behold, Exodus 3 and 13, When I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, hath sent me unto you. And they shall say unto me, since they don't know very good, What is his name? And I shall say unto them, And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, have sent me unto you. And remember in the Gospel of John, we keep reading John 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I am, I am, I am, I am. Who are you? I am. I told you, I am. I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the first and the last. I'm the only one. Wow, only God, only Savior. Now, do you see the word name, verse 13? What is his name? The word shame, shame, shame. What is his name? A sign, a mark. Over at Exodus 20. Exodus chapter 20. Want to know, what is his name? Name, hang on. We're praying in Jesus' name. Exodus chapter 20. And you will note verse 7. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So the name. And when you say name, shame, when you say that in the light of Old Testament, all those words, name, and then you come to Jesus' name, God's name, I am that I am. God, you're a wonderful, wonderful person, revealed, to be known, to be wonderfully understood. The manifestation in your name is the manifestation of your invisible, infinite person. In some way, by creation or something, to make you understood. You made your name wonderfully understood, perfectly understood, in the person of Jesus Christ. So I want you to pray in his name. The perfect name, the perfect nature, the perfect person. I want you to pray in his name. Now, in the light of that, and in the light his for and for his name's sake, remember, and thou shalt not take the name of the Lord God in vain, means worthless, to no profit, to no purpose, to no benefit, to take his name in vain. Don't take my name in vain, as if it was just throw it out. Understand, when you say my name, you're talking about me. God. So don't use my name in vain. I will not hold him guiltless. So God, if we're going to pray in Jesus' name, then we aren't using it as an abracadabra at the end of the prayer, like a little thing. I pray that I'll have banana. I'll pray for whatever. And in the process, what do you need to do? You have to have a little code word. The code word is Jesus' name. And it isn't a code word. It's the guide for all that we say and do and think in Jesus' name. In all that you are, God. That's what it means. Don't take my name in vain. And people do. They throw it out. God this and God that. They don't understand. They don't. Neither do they enjoy God or honor God. So now, having said that little bit, in Jesus' name, and for his name's sake, so, and God's going to, we pray in Jesus' name, don't take his name in vain. And then you're going to go and say, for his great name's sake, and his name, all that his name, when you say God to people, if you say Pinocchio to people, that's one thing. If you say something else, it's something else. When you say the little word G-O-D to people, what does that mean to people? G-O-D, God. G-O-D, God. All, when you say God, God is God. So I'm not looking for anyone, angels, I'm not looking for humans, I'm not looking for things, I'm looking for God. Whoever God is, God is all that you would expect God to be. G-O-D, he is. He is all that you expect him to be, God. So when you pray in his namesake, everything that you expect him to be. If he's God, then you expect him to be God. That's why David would go after Goliath and a lion and a bear. That's why they'd cross the Red Sea, Moses. That's why, because he's God. And if you're praying to God and you're looking to God, and God is your Savior and Lord, and he dwells within, which he said. Boy, all the fullness of God. I don't have partially. I have to yield to that fullness to enjoy it. No question about that. I've got to do that. And all of it is for his wonderful name's sake, to make known his attributes, his wonderful character, conduct, and all of that. Over, if you would, Isaiah 48. Isaiah chapter 48. And in Isaiah chapter 48, may I go to that which you are familiar with again. But I'm just trying to get the phrase for his namesake. Because that's a guide. Everything he does is for his name. All that we do is for his name. You're about my Father's business. That's what I have to do. So Isaiah 48, picking up, please, in verse 9. Verse 9. For my name's sake will I defer, hold back, delay mine anger. And for my praise will I refrain for thee, that I cut thee not off. In other words, I'm going to hold off doing anything. And would you notice the first four words? For my name's sake. The word name's sake, on account of, in or to the intent of, to the purpose of. Purpose of the purpose of my name, for the purpose of my name, on account of my name, I'm going to delay mine anger. Verse 10, behold, I have refrained thee, but not with silver. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. Now again, verse 4, for my name's sake, on account of the thing. The motive, the aiming, the purpose. What's the purpose? Why do you do anything, God? For my name's sake, because of who I am. Even, going to say it again? Yep, I'm not going to, hope you don't miss it. For mine own sake will I do it. Why are you going to do it? For how should my name, all that it stands for, be polluted, be decreased, be diminished? And just as G-O-D is a huge forever word. And I, verse 11, because, and I will not give my glory unto another. So now, God, for your great name's sake, over to chapter 43 to pick it up again. So you see it. God, why do you do anything? Because of who I am. Why'd you create us? Because I created you. Why'd you save us? Because I wanted to. So God, here we are, 43, verse 25. I am he that blotteth out thy transgressions. Why? For my own sake. I will not remember your sins. God, you are going to go for your own sake. That's right. I'm going to do it for my own sake of who I am. So what are you looking for? We're going to pray in Jesus' name. We're looking for God to be God. We're looking for the will of God. We aren't trying to tell God what to do. We're trying to show and honor God so that we can understand, God, the outworking of your will. We have a unique relationship to you. We are here about your business, God. We represent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who's our personal Savior. We're in Christ, and Christ, and we're in you, a new creature. God, we have a unique relationship, and it's there so that we can just, in this body of flesh and blood, dying in trespasses and sin apart from your grace, God, here we are. And we're able to have a unique little time on earth as saved people and enjoy you in a super-duper way that ought to be for all believers in the church age, especially. But it wasn't. It's because we got too much of ourself in us. And to say in Jesus' name, we don't mind a little abracadabra at the end of a prayer, but we'd like to have our request and make our request and pray, and that's people pray and get 500 people praying for you and 700 people over here praying for you and doing this and doing that. And I had opportunity today to share that a little bit. And in the process, I don't know whether you understood it or not, but I said, understand, if you're in the will of God, looking to God, God will meet every need of your life. And I said, don't get tied up in the dumb system of missions and everything else. That's what happens. And you're going to sink in it. Because you're going to learn to, I got to get this and I got to do that. I understand the world system is not the way it was. And I understand the restrictions. But I want you to know, if God wants you in Timbuktu, God will get you there. And God's very good at it. He'll send you to let's go to Siberia. And you go to the Arabs over there and you want to witness and hand out a Bible and they put you in jail, and then Putin come along and said, no, I need him in my Siberian camp, and he sent you up there, and you would have never got there by yourself. It took God's wonderful working to get you there. God wanted you there to talk to somebody. Didn't you ever have that happen? Sure you have. If you're with it at all, someone comes along, you never planned on it. You think of how many times you go in the hospital or whatever, who are you talking? You talk to people you'd never talk to. Never see them. You get a flat tire in the road and a guy comes to help you, you would never see him. You don't even know the guy. And God, flat tire, what did it? The flat tire did it. Not always is that true, but often. And so God, here we are, and in the light of our time, I wish I had more time. I do. Are you getting a little bit? I'm trying to get you there. I know it's foreign. No question. Is it foreign? But it isn't out of reach. And it is yours. Or I wouldn't even bother getting up here and telling you. It's your privilege to be saved and to enjoy God. Do you understand that? Psalm 23. Remember we said, for his name's sake, on account of his name, for the purpose of his name. Psalm 23, which you're familiar with, may I go directly? I'll read a little bit because it isn't very far. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of rightness, because for his what? For his name's sake. So God, how am I going to go from here to home, to work, to school? God, you have to be ahead of me. You have to be behind me. That's why surely goodness and mercy is following me, following you, and we're going to go. God, you're going to lead. That's what I'm looking for, your will. And I'm going to do everything I can as responsibly as I can. And over, if you would, while you're here in Psalms, chapter 25. Chapter 25, if I can. I'll read verse 10. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Verse 11. Why is that? For my name's sake, O Lord, pardon. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. And I'm not asking you to forgive my sin because it's little. My sin is all the way from head to toe. Isaiah chapter 1. Don't you guys know? You are corrupt from your head to your toe, and you don't know it. I'm going to save you. Great sinner, great salvation, I'm going to save you. Mm-hmm. For my name's sake, even though my sin is great. Over, if you would, in 31. 31 and in verse 3. I'll read into it. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Verse 1. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. So therefore, I'm on the right course. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defense to save me. For, the reason you're going to do this, God, is for thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me, for thou art my strength. Into thy hand I commend my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord, O Lord God of truth, etc. Wow. So God, I'm going to go and look to you. And I'm going to learn it. And I want you to know, 100 times, you want to learn to pray. When you say, pray in Jesus' name, do you understand what you're saying? Don't just tack it on. Understand that's why you were able to ask in the first place. You have access, well, without getting into all I wish I could. Now, you and I have access. Do you know that let's see. I have a key to my house. Do you have a key to my house? No. I have a key to my house. It's my house. By that I mean I live there. All my stuff's there. So I live there. My stuff's there. Do you know what? God gave me a key to his house in Christ. Not only do I have a key to his house, I have a key to the heart of God. I have immediate access to God the Father without 1 millisecond of delay. Do you understand that? Before I even open my mouth, my Father says, I already know your need. Access instantly in his name. That's my privilege and yours. I have a key. You have access. Privileges to God the Father. To enjoy him. You know, what kind of prayer should we have? Well, God, you are something else. Boy, you didn't say much. No, I didn't. In fact, one of the things I had today on the phone was, are there any prayer requests? Do you have any prayer requests? And I said, well, give me a second. And I tried to think. I said, no, I don't have any prayer requests. Don't have any. Legit, I don't have any prayer requests. God is doing. I have prayer requests for Larry and Mr. Lyman and all those, Ron Hanson. I have all those people. But God, you already know that. So is there anything God, say it another way, is there anything God you want taken care of? How's that for a question? Is there anything God isn't looking after? What are you going to say? He's looking after everything in my life and yours. So I'm going to trust him. I don't have any prayer requests. What do you have to worry about? Talk about. Nothing. What about the cancer? So what? We're going to look to God for it and work it out. And some of you all been through that stuff. It's a wonder. Anyway, I got to quit. We're going to get back in Jeremiah, but I got to finish this little bit. Anyway, you have a particular prayer request. I knew that would come out all right.